The light of God is shining again, dispelling the darkness in the hearts of men, turning their night season into their morning, converting their wilderness places into blossoming gardens, and their arid lawns into gushing brooks of living waters. This is the day of the manifestation of the sons of the living God. And for this cause, the Lord is pouring out His mighty Spirit upon all flesh, causing them to see dreams and visions, and give them a crystal clear understanding of the mystery of the ages, which is the Christ in you. This recording is a message from Trevor Igaga, an anointed servant of God, called to preach the sacred mystery of Christ and to unveil His glorious realm of unconditional love and bliss before all men. As you embrace this message from on high, receive hundredfold restoration of everything that the caterpillar and the canker worm have devoured in your precious life. Let your health speed forth speedily, and the joy of your salvation overflow like great torrents of water. For more free messages, do visit our website at www.sunrayministry.org or contact us on info@sunrayministry.org. May the God of peace and love keep you.
What the Father is doing this very day in our lives is that He's causing us to see this great mystery, a fellowship that we have had in Him before this world was. A fellowship in Him, in God, that we all had. See, before this world came into existence, or before we found ourselves in this world, God wants every man to see this mystery, so that by seeing this mystery, they can enter back into life. Praise God. See, religion will never help you one bit. Don't eat this way, don't drink this way, don't dress this way. See, our, you know, culture of, you know, of judgment, judgmental values, and all these kind of things we do in this world cannot in any way draw us nearer to God. You cannot ever be partakers of God's world, God's kingdom, without first of all understanding this great mystery that has been before this world was, and that mystery remains. But God wants every man to awaken into this mystery. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Obviously, we're talking about a fellowship in the body. And that fellowship in this body of God that has been from the beginning is actually what brought about what we see in this world today. It is written that without Him, nothing was created. Everything you see in heaven and earth came out of that fellowship in that body, which has been from the beginning of the world. Praise God, hallelujah. These are things you just have to sit down still and listen to what the Spirit is saying. Everything of God is given freely, but we just have to receive it freely. Just by hearing, you don't need to pay a dime to receive all the things of God. Isaiah 55 says, come to buy bread, honey, milk, buy and eat free without a dime. You don't need to pay a dime to receive the things of God. Just come and receive freely. Praise God. Now you are turning out there day and night, paying tithes, shouting all night, fasting all night. You know, and trying to do all kind of works to kind of gain favor with God. But God is saying those things cannot help you. God has not asked for sacrifice from you. All God, you know, wants is that you have an, you know, the ear to hear, receive this mystery of this fellowship that has been in God from the beginning of the world. That is what God wants you to do. It's not about clapping, it's not about crying, it's not about organized religion. Praise God. Of course, at times, if it means I do certain things to share with people, of course, why not? I might do certain things, but I want you to understand that God is not in anything religious. You don't need religion to ever get to God. All you need is a hearing ear that will bring about a revelation of this body, this oneness, this fellowship that we had in God before this world was. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the verses on the morning star in Job chapter 38 are verses I've read over the years. We're talking of from more than 20 years ago. And somehow the Lord lately opened my eyes to see greater things in just that one verse in Job chapter 38. That verse that speaks about the morning stars, the sons of God. Praise God. It is clearly recorded that the morning stars, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You see, where the morning stars sang together. Now, can you see that word together there? Do you observe that word together? The morning stars sang together. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And the sons of God shouted for joy. You can see a divine harmony, a divine oneness. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I hope God, we can just open your eyes to see this great mystery. Do you know what we see in this world today is that song? Everything created is that song. Every element, both seen and unseen, everything underneath the sea, above the sea, in the heavens, you know, everywhere. What you are seeing out there with your physical eyes, actually, the songs. The song of the morning stars. Praise God. Because the morning stars actually, you know, form that composite body of the Lord from heaven. Brethren, don't deceive yourself. There's no body without the sons, and there's no sons without the body. There's a oneness, a divine oneness that God is revealing to us today. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It is written that without Him was nothing created. Everything was created by Him. The world, everything that is in it, created by Him, for Him, and for His pleasure. And that one is a multiple one. It's one but many members. Paul has written about these things several times. You see this in the Bible, and people quote these things. We are, you know, body of Christ, many members. And they say many members, they try to gather themselves into buildings, churches, and they say they are one body, one in many members. But it has got nothing to do with that. Are you listening? We're speaking about a divine oneness in the spirit. It's not something that you can work out. It's something that you can awaken to. It's something that's already there. Oh, hallelujah. You see, this is the unity that the psalmist was trying to speak about by the spirit in the book of Psalms. Praise God. In the book of Psalms, what chapter is that? Psalm 133, it says, Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. It is like the fine ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended from the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Even life forevermore. And we can see God is great. Hallelujah. We praise God. We're thankful to God for this word. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Let our eyes be open to see this great mystery. Hallelujah. Because the psalmist in Psalm chapter 133 is speaking about a divine unity. That togetherness we saw in the morning stars in the book of Job chapter 38. This is same oneness. How lovely it is when brethren dwell together in unity. See, have you seen the unity of the faith? See, Paul spoke about the unity of the faith. Till we come to the unity of the faith. See, he's speaking about our growing up, our increase in the revelation of this celestial man, this spiritual man we call Christ, our increase in this revelation till we come to the unity of the faith, praise God, so that what we just read in Psalm 133 is fulfilled in our what? In our lives. How pleasant it is when brethren dwell together. Oh, hallelujah. Together. The morning stars shout together. In one accord. In one, with one voice. Praise God. And you can see that along with this unity comes the blessing. The eternal life that we are talking about. See, along with this blessing, along with this awakening, this oneness comes the blessing. You can see the word there. It says what? For there, God has commanded their blessing. Oh, praise God. Now, did you see plural there? Not see plural. It says the blessing. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. You know, if you go to Psalm 24, you see this same blessing in the book of Psalm, chapter 24. Let's go up fast. Psalm 24, let's go first, okay? Hallelujah, I'm going to start from verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in the holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfulness. He shall receive what? The blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So we can see the psalmist again. I don't know whether they're the same people, but the psalmist again is speaking about this same blessing upon the mountain. See, you know what this blessing is? The blessing is God himself. It. Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you, in you, as you, before this world was. The blessing is to rediscover your life in God. For this reason, the Bible says that he has come to give understanding. And as many as can receive him. God, hallelujah. As many as have ears to hear. As many as can embrace this revelation light that is shining from above. He has given them power to become sons of God. He has given them power to realize that fellowship of oneness among the morning stars in God. God wants us to return to the place of all power, of all peace, of all joy, of all love. Hallelujah. He wants us to return back to the place of God. Praise God. And what greater blessing is there than God himself? That's why God will appear to Abraham and tell Abraham that I am what? Your exceeding great reward. I am your reward. Praise God. Your reward is not in accumulating all the wealth in this world. Your reward is rediscovering yourself in God. And this occurs by a spiritual awakening, an ascension into that pure life of the Spirit. Praise God. God is revealing to us today that celestial body out of which we all descended into this material dimension, into this world of flesh and blood. And God wants every man to ascend back into that place of all power. Praise God. And it is right now, as you hear this message, a divine togetherness. When you begin to, your eyes are open to begin to behold the mystery of this fellowship. You can't but behold the majesty and the beauty of God in every man that you come across. Because all men descended out of that body. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, but the darkness of this world had blinded us so that we could not even recognize this unity, this oneness that has been before the foundation of the world. See, the lust of this age, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the many things that we've, you know, learned from the moment we were introduced into this realm have actually severed us in our minds. There's been a separation in our minds. That's why there is the wars, destructions, envy, hates, strife, oh, praise God, hallelujah. But all we need today is to wake up to the reality that the earth and the fullness thereof is what? Is the Lord's. It can never change. You can fight, make your wars, bomb places, fight in the name of religion, fight for lands, for territories, for treasures, do all your warrings as you want. After that, you leave this body, the Lord is. It remains the Lord. Praise God. That's why Paul writes that all things are yours. All things are what? Are yours. Now let's read these things quickly, because we don't need to be carried away with the multitudes. See, who marry the beggarly elements of this world. Rather, we should, you know, kind of dedicate our life to beholding this mystery and participating in this mystery. Beholding this great mystery and participating in this great mystery. Oh, praise God. True riches is to know God. True riches is to rediscover yourself in God. Praise God. And if you rediscover yourself in God, among the morning stars, walking in that full grace and the power of the Son of God, you truly do not need a jar in your bank account. Because the elements of this world will serve you. Hallelujah, the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everything that you ever need will ever be at your disposal. Hallelujah. Because you walk as the Son. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. No more fear, no more torment. See, Paul, John says that if there is, you know, fear in you, you have not yet been perfected in love. Fear torments. Fear what? It torments. What is fear? That it torments. Fear of death. Fear of what I will eat. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of this. My child did this. Fear of that. But once there is fear, we have, that means we have not realized this, the totality of this oneness with God. Knowing this totality of this oneness means a perfect peace, a perfect stillness that can never be taken away from you. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let's quickly read something that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is what? Is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are what? In vain. We're talking of the wise, the earthly wise. See, the Italians will say football. See, that wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. The wisdom to scheme and to, you know, wangle your way around. That is what is in this world, isn't it? Everybody wants to, you know, how do I put it? To wangle his way around the place. There's a fight for survival. See, for, you know, how do you put it? Survival of the fittest. See, or the most cunning. That's how this world, people get around by being cunning. See it? Praise God. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are what? Yours. Let no man glory in men. All things are what? Yours. I remember. Do you see what it is? All things are what? Yours. For all things to be yours does not mean that you pocket it. It doesn't mean that it's written in your earthly name. It doesn't mean that you have all the money in your account before you know that all things are yours. See, let me tell you, the man of the spirit inherits all things. Praise God. You see, you might think you have great wealth, you might think you have great territories, lands, and everything, but all that is just, it's all false. See, by the time you leave this body, in maybe a couple of thousand years, maybe a million years, who knows? What you thought was yours, what you named after your name, you discover that it's all turned around. So the Egyptian pharaohs and those antique men of old, you notice that they made their tombs with gold caskets, with treasures buried in them. Do you think that these men ever thought in their vain imaginations, do you think these men ever thought that those things would be removed? They couldn't see afar off. You see, when they build those graves with gold inside and chambers and all that within them, they thought those things would remain forever. See, they were so powerful and so secure in that they never could see afar off that those things would become historical sites that people would dig out tomorrow and, you know, put in museums. So there's nothing you can actually, you know, gather unto yourself in this world. Hallelujah. It's only as you are working in the spirit and begin to walk in the name of the Lord that you begin to realize that all things are yours. All things are yours. All things belong to the Lord. and we are in the Lord. So beware of covetousness. Don't let us not be deceived or carried away by the by the multitude who go after, pursue after riches, things that look as though they are not, but they are. Things that look as though they are, but they are what they are not. Praise God. I'm going to go on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 22 or verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. Are you seeing? All are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. All things are yours, you who are awakening in Christ. Praise God, you who can recognize the mystery of this fellowship and once more participate by faith. Praise God, you don't need to just, you don't need any ritual to participate in this fellowship. You don't need to be in a member of a church. I listen, a registered member of any church anywhere. See, all those things you go into there, and let me tell you the truth, you only corrupt yourself. You might have good intentions, you want to preach to them, you want to minister to them, but I tell you, you only wind up in greater bondage in there. Forget it, it doesn't work. We've seen it doesn't work. Are you listening? And if you have this message, you don't need to mingle with them. There's no point. You do that, it will only take away the light from you. Be free, walk freely. Free from all these associations of men. Walk in the spirit, fellowship in the spirit. Let your treasures be in heavenly places in God, not upon the earth. Praise God, we thank God. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. It's wonderful, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. So all things are yours. We have to awaken to the unity of the faith. Awaken back into that perfect oneness. See, it is not something after the flesh. It's a divine unity that has been in God from the foundation of the world. See, and we who are in the faith can demonstrate this oneness to this world in a way that has never been seen before. But it starts first by recognizing this oneness, this togetherness that we just read about. The sons of the morning stars sang together. You can enter back into that congregation of the Almighty and begin to sing with that voice of many waters. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Amen. The voice of many waters. It's one voice, but many waters, many nations, tongues. You see this on three occasions in the book of Revelation. When the apostle heard this, the voice of many waters speaking with one voice in one accord, is the body of Christ. Those who are walking into that one body. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why you have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Have you heard of the marriage supper of the Lamb? Many, many kind of, books have been written on this. Marriage supper of the Lamb. People expect something. Some people talk about a post-rapture, a rapture before rapture, whatever, But they don't realize that the marriage supper is what we are hearing now. We are feeding on this mystery that has been hidden on the foundation of the world so that we can realize once more our oneness with the Lord. See it. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, and the Lord is awakening the people together today back into that oneness. Because the life of the spirit is the only life that there is. The life in the flesh is temporal. The life in the flesh is not your life. So all that is passing away. Praise God. But we who can hear what the Lord is saying have a kingdom an inheritance, a name. We have substance that can never pass away. Some substance that remain forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. Amen. But let us recognize oneness. There's no way we can enter into God's kingdom without flowing into the oneness of the Spirit. See it. We are all one. John the Apostle, who had a higher revelation, spoke about this oneness again and again. He says, if one does not love his brother, how can he say he dwells in the light? You are still in the darkness of this world when you fail to recognize this oneness. See, look at the language John uses in the book of, in 1 John. He says that if you see your brother in need of earthly things, of these material goods, of the things of this world, if you see him in need of these things and you turn your back on him, how can you call that love? What kind of love is that? See, look at the language. Let's read it together. 1 John chapter 3 verse 17, it says, but whosoever has this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowel of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at the language. It says, if... where is it? Verse 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whosoever has this world's goods and seeth his brother in need. Now, we're not talking about anything brother relation. We're talking of that brotherhood. You see, John here is speaking from an elevated state here. See, it's talking about your fellow morning star, your brother in the Lord, your brother in the Spirit, your brother from the beginning. See, if you have this world's goods, now we're talking of material things now, this world's goods, you can see that John is saying here that they are not of this world. They are of a spiritual kingdom. So he says that if you see your brother has need of this world's goods and you turn your back on him, what kind of love is that? Praise God. What kind of love is that? We have to put aside our differences, put aside, what we have perceived as life in this world and begin to exercise ourselves in true brotherliness. That is the only way a man can actually rediscover God's kingdom. We enter in by recognizing the Lord's body. That is why the condition that was given to Elisha, before Elisha could actually enter into the glory of his master, said Elisha is, coming with the glory of Elijah, his master, is actually a shadow, an allegorical view of the son who has entered into God's kingdom. Now, the only condition that was given to Elisha to inherit the double portion of the anointing was that if you can just see that body, he asked his master Elijah, that he wanted the double portion of the anointing. And of course, God will always give you anything you want. Isn't it? He wanted the double portion of the anointing. Elijah said, well, if you can see me taking it away, then it's yours. So Elisha had to leave his eyes open. He had to be watchful. spiritually alert. Because one moment of sleep, he would have just discovered that his master was gone. Suddenly, in the night, dead night, a celestial body appeared. A chariot with horsemen appeared from heaven. And I'm sure that is in a twinkle of an eye. And Elisha was able to see that body. And in seeing that body, he was converted. He was able to receive the blessing. Now remember, we read the other time about the blessing, the anointing, in the book of Psalm chapter 133. He spoke about anointing, isn't it? That anointing is actually that double portion of the anointing that Elisha asked for. But you can see that Elisha first of all had to see that body. And in seeing that body, he was united with that body. You know, Elisha became one with that body. Sometime later, when the enemies came to harass them, you can see, and the servant was panicking, Elisha asked God to open the eyes of the servant. And, you know, he saw those same chariots that he had seen when his master was taken away. So you can see, Elisha was continuously in that body. And that is the gathering with which we are being gathered today. We are being gathered back into that body. Praise God. What he was seeing was the body of Christ, the Lord's body. Those horsemen with the chariot represent the angels, the messengers, the stars of God, the sons of God. And you can see all of them all partake of that chariot. That chariot is the throne. They all partake of the throne of God. They all partake of the name of God. They are all one, knitted in oneness in God's glory. See, that it's all over the Bible. God shows this oneness again and again and again. You see this oneness when Ezekiel saw the body of the Lord in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel saw that it was a multitude speaking out of the glory cloud. Praise God, he heard the voice of multitude. It's like when the Lord appears, he appears in that composite body. When he appeared to Moses, you know, with a cloud upon the mountain of Horeb, that is actually a body of saints, witnesses, celestial beings, spirits who form that one body in God. It's all over the Bible. You see it in the tabernacle of Moses. Underneath that thick skin, you see a structure with angels imprinted all over it. Cherubims imprinted all over the tabernacle, showing a oneness in the body. All over the Bible, you see it all over, right from Jeremiah, Isaiah, all over. God simply seeks to reveal to us our oneness, togetherness. And to enter in, we can only enter in by recognizing our oneness, spiritualizing ourselves. It's not about gathering into buildings. Praise God. Changing our mindset. While repentance is all about changing the way we think. Metanoia, that is the Greek word, is it? I'm not good in all those things. All these Hebrew words, I don't venture in those areas. I go where I can go. Amen. But it all speaks about changing your mode of thinking from the carnal way, because when you begin to look at men carnally, you're actually perceiving them in a wrong view. Paul says, henceforth no eye, no man after the flesh. See, henceforth no eye, no man after the flesh. So when you begin to know men by after the flesh, you are actually transgressing. You enter into trouble. You must exercise yourself to behold the Lord, the Spirit. See, Paul says, I henceforth know I no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the Spirit is the Lord. Are you listening? If I have known Jesus after the flesh, henceforth do I know Jesus no more after the flesh. Jesus himself stopped knowing his own self after the flesh. That's why he will say to me, to the mother and the brother, that he doesn't know them. So we have to deny the identity of the flesh that we are born in this world and begin to see afar off into the Spirit. We have to awaken to recognize the Spirit, the Lord, seated in his temple. This is the way we can begin to grow in harmony, in love, and in oneness, and to rediscover God's kingdom. It's all present, brethren. And it's now, as we hear the voice of the Spirit, recognizing oneness. See how lovely it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The unity of the faith. See, it occurs by ascending up God's holy mountain. Praise God. I'm going to go back to Psalm 24. That Psalm 24 is packed with powerful word. Don't think you know these things too much, right? You read these things, you recite these things in religion, but you don't know the depths, the power that is loaded in these letters you see in Psalm chapter 24. Praise God. He says, who will ascend God's holy mountain? Don't you want to ascend? Ascend back into the heights of God. Ascend back into the place of all power. Ascend back into the place of all love. Who will ascend into that place where the blessing, the all power resides? Who will ascend? Now just listen to this, what it says here. Who will ascend? It says, I'm going to start from verse 3 again. Psalm 24 verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? You see the holy place there? Holy place is actually, you know, it's a spot for the Lord alone. Eh? When you say holy place, it means that that spot is the Lord's. No man can stand there. So if you want to stand there, you better be in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. He who has clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, listen carefully, brethren. God is revealing to us a mystery here. He's saying that he that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. Now, what does it mean to lift up your soul to vanity? Because God is teaching us now how to ascend the God's holy thing. Pure heart. In all these years, we've talked about trying to be good people, isn't it? Good men. Hallelujah, praise God. We try to be good men, good religious people to kind of gain favor from God. But God says today is the day of your ascension. Paul says that we have come to what? To Mount Zion. Paul says we have come to the place of the blessing, the city of the living God, to the gathering, universal gathering, innumerable angels, companies. How many times have we encountered angels in our midst? We have come in contact with the supernatural again and again and again. That's a presence that works with us. That same presence that was with Elisha, that presence works with us, always with us, but you need to be spiritually alert to know these things. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. And you see, how do you lift up your soul to vanity? Paul already gave a hint here. He says, henceforth do I know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God, the eyes of our understanding must be opened to see the Lord and the Lord alone. Now, if we're not seeing the Lord of the heavens and the earth in all things, we're in darkness. See it? We are beholding the lie and walking in the lie. Because besides the Lord, there is no other one. Praise God. The mind has to be reconditioned, awakened. There has to be a stirring up, a holy stirring up, to once more begin to recognize the Lord's body. To serve the body, to worship the body. Praise God. You know, I can always actually be with you. I stand before you, and I'm worshiping the Lord's body. Doesn't mean I kneel down before you, but I can actually be, you know, without even saying a word, when I'm in my day-to-day walk, I'm actually, you know, reverencing that presence. See, that covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Praise God. My eyes are exercised to see the Lord and the Lord alone. Because the Lord sees the Lord. The Lord does not see any man. The Lord does not see vanity. The Lord sees the Lord. And the Lord blesses the Lord. Besides him, there is nothing. Any other thing apart from the Lord is what is vanity. We have to purify ourselves from this world. Gradually, as we hear these words. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that every man can stand fully in the name of the Lord. And as we do these things, there is a gate that is opened. Now, if you go down the book of Psalm 24, speaking about the gate, an eternal gate into God's kingdom, I think we've shared these things before, but we have to share them again and again. Amen. Psalm 24 verse 6, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, when you see these things, obviously the religious mind cannot understand the Psalms. The one that wrote these Psalms cannot understand this Psalm. See, but God is giving us spiritual ears today, because God is showing us today the way, a re-entrance back into his kingdom. You know, you saw this, the gates in the New Jerusalem. You see this in the book of the last chapter of Revelations. The last two chapters, the Bible clearly speaks about the gates of the celestial city that were opened. You see, open for every man to enter into. But how do you enter in? Because obviously, from what we are seeing, no man can enter into that place. Hallelujah. Amen. No man can enter into that place. Only the Lord. Praise God. Open your everlasting gate, that the King of glory may enter. Who is the King of glory? Strong in battle. It is you that have defeated the principalities and powers in the name of the Lord. It is you who have overcome the darkness of this world. It's with you who have held on to the word of truth and not denied the name of the Lord and confessed that name in every situation. It is you who enters into that gate right now as you hear the voice of the trumpet. Hallelujah. Enter in, you King of glory. You who have turned your eyes away from vanity. You who have turned away your eyes from the lies of this age. Enter in, O King of glory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. That's why in the book of Revelation, the last chapter, you can see that the inhabitants had the name of the Lord written on their what? Forehead. Meaning that they walked in the name of the Lord. These are not men. These ones who walk in the name of the Lord. As the Lord of glory. Praise God. Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 15 speaks about that man from heaven. Two men. There is the terrestrial man, which is the man of flesh and blood, the inglorious man, the man of sin. But there's also the second man, who is the celestial man. You read this in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the second man, who is the celestial man, the spiritual man, is actually the Lord from heaven. And Paul goes further to explain that even though we have borne the image of the earthly, which is the inglorious dead man of this earth, we shall also bear the image of what? Of the heavenly, which is the Lord from heaven. Only by putting on the image of the Lord from heaven do we enter into God's kingdom. Open ye everlasting gates. Praise God. Let us awaken. See it. As we hear these words today, hold on to this word tenaciously. Hold on to these words. With all our strength, with all our heart, with all our minds. And allow this word guide us into that realm. World without end. The moment is now. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter. Praise God. I'm going to end off with this. 2 Peter. It says that the Lord, through the revelation of Christ Jesus, through the mystery of Christ, praise God, through the mystery of Christ, through the revelation of Christ, the Lord has granted us that possibility to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Praise God. Obviously, through the revelation of this spiritual body, through the revelation of this celestial gift that the Lord is imparting to us today, we can now once more awaken back to that incorruptible divine nature of God. See, that we begin to escape the corruption and this world, because we begin to see the real realm of God, and we begin to walk in relation to that realm. We begin to walk in the nature of the Lord. Praise God. And you can see Paul, Peter goes further to say, verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and besides this, giving all the diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, but he that lacketh these things is blind and can't see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Praise God. Now, what does it mean to be purged from your old sins? Your old ignorance. Your old ways as a man. See, you must know that sin is actually your deviation from your true identity, which is the Lord from heaven. Amen? True sin is deviation, leaving aside your true nature. Leaving aside your true identity for the glories of this world. Praise God. That is what sin is. Praise God. And God is purging us from these sins today through the revelation of Christ. And is causing us to ascend out of the earthly once more back into his life. Hallelujah. Back into his nature. And, you know, consequently back into his kingdom. Praise God. So we are admonished to continue on. Keep the fire burning. See it. Let oneness grow. Togetherness grow. See it. Love for one another. Recognizing the Lord's body. See it. Let these things grow. Patience. As we recognize more and more the Lord's body, there's more patience. more temperance, more perseverance, more virtue. These things begin to increase in us. We become less judgmental. Jealousy begins to fade away. Vainglory, the quest for vainglory begins to fade away because we begin to recognize that all things are ours and that we are one. Praise God. So there's an urge for continuity. And look at what it says here. Amen. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. See, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For an entrance, now you can see the entrance here, a gate, a door, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. So, we're seeing here that our increase in brotherliness, in love, in oneness, in the mystery of this fellowship actually draws us, pulls us, hallelujah, grants us access back into the realm of all power. That's the kingdom of the Lord is actually the kingdom situated upon the hill. That is the place the Lord has commanded the blessing. Who doesn't want the blessing? Do you want the blessing? Praise God. Do you want the life of God? Do you want the anointing without measure? Do you want to shout once more with joy as the sons of God before this world was? Do you want once more to know that song that we sang together in oneness from the beginning? You want to twinkle as a star in heavenly places, displaying the majesty of the God upon the earth? The world is waiting for you. Praise God, for the world is waiting for the manifestation of you, of the Son of God. Hallelujah. This is the only way. God is giving us keys to life. Let the eyes be exercised to behold the Lord's body. Let us behold the Lord's body. Let us recognize the Lord's body. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Be thou lifted up. Be glorified in the earth. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Togetherness, oneness, love. Hallelujah. Upon Mount Zion. How lovely it is to dwell upon Mount Zion. In unity. Divinely knitted together in one. The sound of joy. Purity of love, oneness, all power, Father, blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Let your light shine, shine, shine upon your people. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Anyone that has heard this tape, let him not live here ever the same. Hallelujah. May the Lord grant you entrance and grace all the days of your life. Amen. Amen. Our sister here has a word for the body. Our sister has a word. You want to share it with the brethren?
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Lord, as we're just concluding this particular preaching and prayer, the Lord revealed to me a rose flower. First it was one. Then later it becomes two. To join together, then it becomes to cross together. That was what the Lord revealed to me.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So the Lord revealed to her one rose flower, and suddenly she saw the rose flower was joined with another rose flower. You know, the kind of intersecting. See, God is showing us oneness again. Amen. The two shall become one. Praise God. This oneness is the only way by which we can enter in and experience the all power of God. Brethren, be blessed in all your endeavors. God bless you. Amen.
eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forever, forever and ever. Hallelujah. For